Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Learn with Dr. G. That's me. This week, I am really excited because I have a friend here who works on one of my absolute favorite video games ever, and we're going to be talking about how to get started on building video games. I'm really excited, so stick around. Awesome. I am so excited to welcome Ayana here. Well, or this way. Welcome.
Hello. Hi, Internet. For quick intro, so I'm Ayana Adegaye. I am a gameplay systems developer on Minecraft. Oh, there's the game reveal. And I've been on the team for, it'll be 2 years in July. So I haven't been there that long. So I feel like I'm in a good space to like share like what I've noticed, like transitioning from like, you know, doing games on my own to like now in industry.
That's awesome. And I think that's one really neat thing, especially kind of nowadays. I mean, it's been kind of for a while, but you know, the gaming industry, you can really get started even before you join like a big studio or a big company. Exactly. You can get started kind of learning how to do it. You can build your own games. I built one in grad school. It was pretty rough in terms of like, in terms of especially kind of, you know, like the prettiness of it. I am not an artist, as you can see by my, you know, attempted drawings. But it was so much fun. I built it in Unity and it was just kind of a blast. And you built one in school as well, right?
Yep. Same kind of scenario. For my college capstone project, I decided to do like a video game. I also did it in Unity. All the art is hand drawn. We were on a team of four, so some of the art looks way better, but like, it was something like spending hours in like the basement of our library and just like drawing right. art over and over and over again. But it was so much fun, even with how much sleeplessness there was.
Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting aspect. So, you know, when we think about video games, there's really a lot of different components to them. There's the gameplay itself, and that's both kind of the story and what's going to be happening, but also the like controls and how you kind of go about playing the game. But then there's like the art aspect, and yeah, y'all drew yours. We just found assets online. Mm-hmm. We paid for them and or found, you know, like Creative Commons ones. So we were building like this game to teach kids how to code, and there were supposed to be these gnomes that like help you out. Our gnomes were so scary. They like, it was a thing. But we do have a clip, like a trailer from your game that I want to show off because it's not scary. Well, I mean, it's like really cool, not causing nightmares like mine. So let's go ahead and show that.
Okay.
Our tale is of four girls lost in a vast forest. The rising moon brings the bitter cold and creatures begin to crawl. Our damsels, however, are not in distress, for they are prepared. Relighting their fire keeps them warm. Gathering kindle fuels the flames. And swarming monsters are vanquished with an elegant twist of their mighty torch. When overcome by the darkness and cold, the fire is our girls' reviving light. Only our brave girls can survive the mysterious forest of night.
Oh my gosh. I like really want, first of all, it kind of reminds me of Minecraft in the sense of, and that's kind of how our game was too, in the sense of, I love the games where you kind of just create these rules about a world. And then from there, you kind of just let people play and discover.
Yep, that's kind. I mean, also like a lot of our creative process was guided by the fact that we had play tests like literally every week. So like our creative process was just kind of like, oh, you know, let's see what people like. And I guess that's very similar to kind of like how like Minecraft is now, like with a lot of like just recently, like the decision for like the next update was made at like Minecraft Live online and voted on like by the players themselves.
And that's like a really, I mean, it's such an important aspect of all software development, but especially gameplay where people are going to be spending hours of time. You know, when you're thinking about designing and developing your first game or even your 100th game, you know, really thinking about what people like and not just what you think people like or what you would like. And having people play that. When we built ours, the first version was literally just like a forest where you could cast like two different spells, because ours was like you were a wizard and code was represented as spells. And so you could cast these two spells and they were pre-written, and we put three crates in the world, and the spells could like raise and lower, and then you can edit the spells slightly. And we just gave them to a bunch of like 10-year-olds and said, do something. And based on what they did, that's when we started to think about like, what would be the framework around this? What would be the storyline around this? And what we realized was the games that we liked to play, the games that like, I feel like really, really encourage kind of hours of exploration and creativity, which is what we were going for, mm-hmm. were the ones where it's not really a game, it's more of a toy. And like the subtle distinction between, if you think about like a board game and a toy, yes, there's some like rules about it, but also you can have it do anything.
Yep. There's like no like constraints almost. It seems like a game has like an end to it almost, or like a board game has like a designated end to it.
Right.
Like, you know, with a toy, you can just kind of infinitely, you can keep playing with it and toying with it.
Yeah.
And building it over and over again until like you're bored of it, I guess.
Exactly.
And we kind of ran into that a whole bunch like in our design process too, because like we had like one of our requirements for the class was that we had to just find, I think it was like 15 random people to just play the game, and like just in the library like accosting random students trying to play, and we're like, hey, do you have like 10 minutes to play this game, and like getting all the feedback from them.
Nice.
Another thing I remember like from that creative process also was like, even though like there is the bit where you're like, when you're finding out what you like, what other people like, and then mm-hmm. tweaking the game to follow something like that, we didn't want our game to be super violent, right? So that,
yes.
So, and it was also kind of weird because we were the team of girls in mm-hmm. like a classroom of a lot of boys. So I remember it, like at least when it came to like the trees you saw in the trailer, like everyone was like, why don't you like get an axe and like break the tree down? We were like, no weapons. We're not doing weapons. The whole point of this is like survival.
Yeah.
Unexpected survival. People don't just have axes.
Right. Yeah. That was kind of similar to our story too, where what we ended up with our storyline was that these gnomes used to have magic, and for some reason it was lost. And so now they're doing things manually around their like neighborhood or their village. And so we come in as like a learning wizard or something, and we start to reintroduce magic to help them automate some of their processes. Because we were also trying to show the correlation between like magic and code, and how code is my favorite line from a book called The Mythical Man Month is you type an incantation on a keyboard and something magical appears on the screen, right? And it was kind of describing what code and development is. And that's kind of like what inspired the whole thing. And it sounds like that was similar, like you came to it from a different point of view, but, and then to have you end up at Minecraft, like, And you did an internship there too, right?
Yeah. So my story, I like to say it came full circle. So I actually got into engineering playing Minecraft as a little girl. I was one of those kids who played it all the time, was always online, put sunk like a lot of time into it. And it was kind of like my first, because it's so like sandboxy and you can like tinker so much in it. I like started getting curious about, okay, what can I do? So I never got into modding like some people did. But I did get into computer building because for whatever reason, anytime you're gaming online, you always stumble upon like these like, oh, we're going to like build our own computers and everything like that. So I stumbled on to that group and I was like, okay, I can do that. You know, it's just really expensive, dangerous Legos. Like I can do that. And from there, I was like, okay, I did this. Now, what if I like decided to start teaching myself how to code, and maybe I could like mod Minecraft? So I did start learning Java. This was my junior year of high school at this point. And I kept learning how to code. And then I decided, yep, I'm just going to go do computer science like for my degree.
I love it.
And then from there, my freshman year of college, I got an internship at Microsoft as a whole. I started off in Office, which was okay. It was nice getting my feet wet, you know, going from like learning all the time to actually being in like an industry setting. That was really helpful, but my passions weren't really there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's right. Microsoft acquired Minecraft like literally what, 2 years ago? So I'm going to go try to join this team. And it took a lot of begging for me to get, because Minecraft is not like I guess this is kind of like the games industry as a whole.
Yeah.
It's slowly opening up to not be so niched as in like you have like have to have gone to like a game design school in order to like be in this industry.
Right.
So it was lots of needling and saying, hey, you know, you could like take the like Microsoft wide college intern program and use that as kind of like a way to flight people who are like not graduating from like game development universities. And it went well. And then I took a full-time offer here. And that's now I'm so here. Cool.
I love it. So you actually shipped something in Minecraft during your internship, didn't you?
Did. Yeah, I was really proud of it. I also showed my mom after it went
I
live.
Love it.
Well,
That is so cool. And I think that's something that not to dive deep into internships, but especially in tech and especially at Microsoft, I did two internships at Microsoft too. And like the fact that you're literally working on real products, right? This is not
that
just
was the fun part.
Should we like play around with it a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
what's going on over here?
Pretty simplistic.
Yeah.
So
what is the time day? What is it? Time day, time set
time.
Day.
Yep. Or wait, space, or
space.
Between the yep. There you go. Okay. So
where did you go?
Oh, I'm right
I'm
here.
Fly. There you are.
Awesome. So when I did my internship, I was originally on the vanilla gameplay team.
Yeah.
So that's the team that like goes through and implements like a lot of the features. So like anything with an update, like the vanilla gameplay team like works on. So that was like my first internship. So the first thing that I created was a potion.
Huh.
And it is called the Potion of Slow Falling.
Ooh.
So I'm going to go ahead and throw this on us real quick. All right. Do you have little sparkly effects?
I do.
Okay. So like fly up into the air and then just let yourself drop.
Oh, I love it. This is so much fun. Oh my gosh.
It took me forever. I mean, this was a really good thing for me to work on because there's a lot of systems that come together in order to like get something like this to work. It's like making like the effect of being able to like drift down slowly. So like programming that, figuring out, okay, how fast do I want to fall? Like, you know, I have to factor this into like the player's movements and everything. And like how are like other mobs in the game? Because it does work on other mobs. Let's see if I can.
Oh, that's like so cool.
Yeah, because like when I was creating it, like I was testing it on like a hole full of creepers.
Oh, I get it. Oh my gosh.
And that's how I figured out, oh gosh, I don't know if it's gonna work here.
We should put him on a platform here.
Yeah, we're gonna have to put him on a platform.
And that's what I love. You know, when we first I used to do some videos where I was just kind of like making games with mods in Minecraft. And sorry, I'm trying to remember all of my commands now.
Yeah, you're good. Oh, I found a little spot right here. If you turn more left.
There you am.
Yep. The world provided a platform for us.
Awesome. Perfect. Also, I was trying to make a platform in the air and you can't do that. So
here he is.
All right.
And I'm just
gonna break it.
Nudge him.
Oh, nice.
And there he goes.
Oh, poor little creep. Is he going to blow? Oh, okay.
He's just gentle. Just very gentle.
Yep. I love it. Yeah. We would make these games where it was like a platformer game. And so, you know, like when you would basically make a mod that when you stepped on a block, it would disappear. And so as you're kind of running around, you know, the blocks would disappear and there's lava underneath. And so the goal is to like not make them disappear, or it's up in the air. And so if you fall through, then you will die. And this would be like what I love. So then it also reminds me of the game that I built, because we had another version that was like a competitive version where you would have a certain amount of time and each person, you were trying to like get the other person to fall off the platform. Mm-hmm. And so you had to write spells in order to do that. Right.
Ooh.
And so this kind of reminds me of that, is like, imagine if you could like write code to create the potion that does this. So then that way, if you do fall off the platform, like you have enough time to like, you know, come up with another solution or something. Like, I don't know.
It just cast the spell really quick and like, that's so cool.
I love it.
Like, I've never like, when it comes to creating games, I had never really considered doing something in like the educational space.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I guess I've taught before, but like, yeah. I guess I just never thought about like, because it just, the kind of research and time that goes into accurately just like teaching like topics when it comes to like creating those games.
Totally. Yeah. The way we kind of thought about it was that, you know, people spend so much time learning about games, especially these more explorative ones. And and imagine if there was just, it's not like you put in a curriculum necessarily, but imagine if part of the game involved something. And I mean, Minecraft does, for example, like, you know, you kids do start to learn about like what it takes to sustain, like those sustainability worlds where like, if you cut down all the trees and then they don't grow back, or, you know, like if you kill all the animals and eat them, then there's no more animals, and just kind of all of that. And I think it's just so much fun. I don't know. It's just so much fun.
The sandboxy aspect of it. It's my favorite part. And it's why, like, I feel like I've gotten into games. It's so creative. And I was like, I was really creative as a child. Like before I decided to become like a computer scientist, I was thinking I was going to be like an architect or something.
Nice.
I can't draw a straight line to save
life. Yeah.
So I don't know how that was going to work out. And at age 15, I was like, I have my life all planned out. it didn't pan out very well.
Yeah. But I was in like fourth grade when I knew I was going to be a doctor, like a medical doctor. And then I got to college and was told I needed to memorize like every chemical structure. And I was like, I am not going to be a doctor.
Like, I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
Oh, no. It's okay. What were we discussing before?
Tech drawing, creative.
Yes. Okay. All right. Now I remember. What makes like this so fun is because it kind of feels like artsy. Like,
yes.
I had to do like another panel for what was it? Hack the Classroom that happened back in November, and there I described it kind of like you're kind of like an artist even though you're a programmer, and you have to go. You have like, okay, I have all these tools at my disposal.
Mm-hmm.
What am I gonna do with them to like reach this end, like this end vision? I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like an accurate analogy. No,
I think it totally is. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. Okay. So that is so cool. So you started by, you know, building this game when you were in college and doing an internship and actually having something that people like. We were just on the Windows 10 version of Minecraft, by the way. If you want to check it out, you can go to minecraft.net and download it. We were on the Windows 10 version of Minecraft, so you can check out that potion. I just think that's so cool. But there's another thing that I recently came across, speaking of trying to figure out like all of the pieces that you need to figure out before you even build a game. You know, we talked about storylines, we talked about gameplay, we talked about, you know, people playing your game ahead of time. But another really cool thing that I've recently discovered is this Sorting Hat site. It was built by Zoe Quinn. And basically, it's this guide through figuring out what you might want to consider before you actually go and build your game. So you might have like the inkling of an idea, or you might know the whole game that you want to build. This can still possibly help. Have you checked this out before?
No, I have not checked this out before. This would be really helpful because the beginning, starting out is the hardest part.
So hard.
It really is.
Which software do you use? Like, am I 2D, 3D, like all of that. So basically you just kind of click through. And what I love about this, it's so simple. Like it is such a simple site with just some buttons, but the knowledge behind it is what makes this such a powerful tool. Like, you know, and I love that there's kind of these examples. So are you trying to build something that's like 2D, 3D, an RPG, role-playing game, a visual novel, an adventure game, text parsing interactive fiction game, an interactive fiction game with hyperlinks. And what's really cool is that they show you kind of pictures of what that might look like, and also often give you these like names of other games so that you can actually go check them out and see like, is this the kind of game that I want to build? I've always wanted to build like either, I don't know, I kind of want to like do this for real. I kind of want to say that I want to build an adventure game like Monkey Island. So from there, it basically starts to describe to you like what you might want to consider in terms of building this. So for example, if you're Windows, there's an Adventure Game Studio tool, which I never knew about. So you can check that out. And there's like tutorials, et cetera. And if you need game engine, if you need a game engine that exports to a different format, like something in a web page, et cetera, then you might want to do something else. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about this, right? Is like, if this is the type of game you want, here's all of the things that you might need, but here's the like constraints. And so if you do hit one of those constraints that you're not willing to budge on, here's an alternative route. So this sounds good. Assets. Do you need graphics? Yes, but I am not an artist.
That's a perfect option.
And then this is really cool, is it kind of shows you some places where you can commission art. That's so cool.
She really did just lay everything out right here.
Everything.
I want to try this now.
And something that you might not have realized is how important sound is. And so, yeah, of course you need visuals. Of course you need like gameplay. But what about sound? And this was something that like when we were building our game, it was like, oh yeah, like we brought in fire, but we needed the sound of fire. And fire sounds differently depending on what is on fire. And I just think it's so cool. So yes, I can't make my own. And, you know, here's all of these.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Music ambience is like very, very important. I remember we spent a very significant portion of like time developing our game, like focusing on music because we wanted it to be like spooky and to like make that atmosphere feel like it's coming alive. Like the music is very, very important.
It is. And once you kind of go through all this, you click here and it gives you a whole doc that has everything that you just kind of asked for.
Oh, and then you can just kind of like hold on to it and use it kind of like a checklist.
Bookmark it. There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Cool. Like, how cool is this tool?
I always have trouble like deciding, like whenever I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make a game. I'm like, okay, what game do I even want to make though? Like the process of making the game is a lot of fun, but you do have to have like a goal in mind or else you're just kind of like sitting in circles for forever.
Yes. And where I get stuck often is not knowing what tools to start to go look through, right? It's kind of this, okay, I think I know what I want to build. And then you just do a quick internet search and you're like, 2D video game. And like you said, you know, a million and one things come up and people are like, well, you got to go build a new computer now. And you know,
you need to beef it up. It's not going to run unless you have this like $3,000 computer.
Exactly. So having like a guide from someone who's an expert, who is, you know, taking their time to take their expertise and make it as quick and simple as this to at least get you started. And then at least now you're kind of understanding the language and the tools. And then you can kind of go on to forums and do other internet searches to find additional information and support. But I think it's a great tool to check out. So
I agree.
Awesome.
Or sorting.h.at.
Yeah.
Cute link. I like
it. I love it. Well, I mean, I think that's pretty much all the time we have for today. Thank you so, so, so much for joining me today on this call or on this video. I just, you know, we're doing this quick series on supporting people who want to build video games and just getting started for the very first time. And I think your journey from playing Minecraft to making your own game and actually shipping something as an intern and then actually working on it today as your full-time job is so inspirational.
Oh, I'm glad it's inspirational. I want this to just kind of prove that like you can kind of whatever you want to aspire for, you should probably try to go for it.
I agree.
And then like even in the topics like with game development, you don't really have to be a programmer to like be a game developer. There's a lot of like Unity like has or is in C#, and you don't really need to know it well in order to like make the games, because a lot of things are just readily available to you. So there's like a lot of like, when I was younger, I thought there was a lot of things that would be limiting me, but when you start really looking into it, there's actually not. There's a lot of avenues that you can go through to like get to where you want to be.
Yep, just like playing games, it's just about persistence.
Yep, exactly. Try harding.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And to everyone else, thank you for watching. Please feel free to follow up with me on Twitter, at Dr. Guthels, hashtag learn with Dr. G. Check out all of the rest of the videos in this series around game development. And until next time, we will see you later. Bye.